Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Let's get in the Word of God. 2 Corinthians. I really enjoyed this. Had a lot of great insight and people just talking about this series and how it relates to them personally, but how it also relates to the future of Living Way, because we do want to be a house of grace, and we do want to be a house where everyone feels like they can come into, no matter what they're struggling with, no matter how their lifestyle is. And remember this, we don't condone lifestyles. We don't affirm certain lifestyles, but we love the people no matter what they're doing, how they identify, what they're going through. This is a place that we're going to love you to the cross, and we believe when you sit in this house long enough, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to transform you from the inside out. Somebody say amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, one of my favorite portions of Scripture in all of the Bible, because the reality and the rawness and the realness of Paul comes out. He says this in verse 8, this is the New Living Translation. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it, the thorn, away. And each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now, Paul said, I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses. First he said, I boast. Now he says, I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and in the hardships and in the persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Somebody just declare as loud as you can, I am flawed, but I am faithful. You may be seated. I love what Paul says right off the bat. He asks God to do something, and God does not do something. He says something. Many times, church, I have asked God to do something only for him to talk back instead of doing what I perceive that he needs to do. But I am here to encourage you that sometimes you don't need him to do something. You just need a word from God. Because a word from God will teach you what you need to do, what needs to be done. So in this series, Flawed, we are talking about identifying flaws. All of us have them. That your flaws don't have to be fatal, which we'll talk about today. That your flaws can become your greatest weapon. The thing that you hate the most about yourself, God wants to get involved in it. And when he gets involved in it, it can become the greatest asset of your life. We will look into the flaws of our Bible heroes in Hebrews 11 for inspiration. And then we'll finally talk in a couple weeks about how to use our flaws for God's glory. Just to catch everyone up very quickly, when we talk about flaws, we're talking about a feature that mars the perfection of something. I think it needs to be said often by believers. I think the church needs to make this obvious to unbelievers that we are not perfect, that we have never been perfect, and we will never be perfect until our life on this earth is over. However, that doesn't mean that we don't strive for perfection, because you can get a whole lot better this time next year than you are today, or this time next month than you are today. So realizing that this is not a perfect church, I am not a perfect pastor, we are not perfect people, it allows us, or should allow us, to afford people grace, because in the space of grace you can grow. Grace is not a license to sin. Just because you know God will give you grace and forgive you, it is not a license to sin, but grace is rather space for you to grow. Aren't you glad, for those of us that have been saved and living for God for longer than a couple weeks, aren't you glad that you are not who you used to be? Aren't you glad that the way you struggle in 23 is a whole lot different than before Christ? My struggles today are so different than they were 10 years ago. Even 10 months ago, I'm so grateful for all that God has done. I realize that I am not perfect, but I also realize that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. We talked about avoiding, ignoring, and neglecting your flaws does not change them or your situation. Too many of us, we ignore them. We put our head in the sand and we just ask God to bless us and not change us. Can I encourage you to pray the prayer of transformation just as much as you pray the prayer of blessing and favor? Not, God, give me this. God, help me grow. Not, God, just bless me over here. And, God, I want more money. But, God, transform my mind. Help me not think those thoughts anymore. And help me think kingdom thoughts. Help me think God thoughts that are going to add, Lord, to my life and to the people that you've called me to lead. We left off in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. God speaking to the prophet when he was looking for a king. He says, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. He said, if you judge based on what you see, you're always going to make the wrong decision. He said, I need you, man of God, to look at the situation, to look at the person like I look at them. Can I encourage you? God does not look at you like your mother-in-law looks at you. God does not look at you like your ex looks at you. God does not look at you like your enemy looks at you. God looks at you not as you are, but as he called and created you to be. And when he saw David, he didn't see a shepherd dragging a harp. When he saw David, he saw the greatest king that Israel would ever have. And when God sees you, he doesn't see you on April 23rd, 2023. He sees the healed you, the delivered you, the restored you, the purpose-driven you, the purpose fulfilled you. God is looking not as you are, but how he called you to be. Man, I'm glad. Doesn't mean he ignores my faults. It says I look past those faults because it is, and listen, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but could it be that God chose me because of my faults? He said, you're so messed up, Brandon, that if I don't get involved in your life, you'll never do anything of worth. So could it be that the thing that you're trying to hide from God, could it be the thing that you're trying to sweep under the rug, God says, no, 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 that's the thing I want, because when I step into that with all of my glory and all of my anointing, what you could not do without me, you can now do with me, which means you will never look to your flesh, but you will always look to my power and my grace and everything that I bring to the table. Anyone ever tell you that you married up? That happens to a lot of men. You married up. The way we say it is we outkicked our coverage. What they're really saying is, why would Mandy ever marry you? One of the reasons Mandy married me is she didn't get to see all of my flaws. Because how many of you, how many of you know when you're closing a business deal, you don't talk about the cracks in the foundation, the leaky attic, the rats the size of house cats? You're just trying to get them to sign on the line. There's a lot of us that when people look at us, they say, why would God use you? And the very reason they discredit you and the very reason they discount you is the very reason why God chose you. Because he said, if I could ever get them to really believe that in their weakness is the place that I am going to step into and show my fullness, the one thing that everybody talks about and talks about at a rate where we hide it, that's the one thing I want them to expose to me. Because if they start talking about the thorn in their flesh, I can give them grace for that thorn. I can give them strength for that weakness. And I can become the God that they want me to be in their life. God, so many times we want God to remove something instead of step into something. God, take away my pain. God said, how about I just invade your pain? God, take away the valley. How about I just walk through the valley with you? God, I don't like this storm. He said, why don't we just get in my boat and we will make it to the other side? Can I encourage you today? A lot of our prayers are misguided because we're saying, God, take it away, take it away. If God takes it away every time, we don't grow. We don't become stronger. We don't lean into him. But when he says, hey, I'm not going to take it
away, but I'm going to bring my presence into what you have. Remember, peace is not the absence of anything. It is the presence of someone, and his name is Jesus.
His name's Jesus. His presence. Don't look on the outside. I've got good news for someone in the room today. Flaws are what makes us human. Flaws are what makes us not God. I'm glad and grateful for my flaws because my flaws have pushed me closer to Jesus. Flaws can be physical flaws. They can be mental flaws. They can be emotional or spiritual flaws, but we all have flaws. Some of us can identify with the four of those, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, that we all have flaws and we all have weaknesses in those areas, but I am here to encourage you with those. Don't hide them, but showcase them to God and say, God, this is where I'm weak, and your word says that there's strength that can be made perfect in my weakness, and so God, here is my weakness. I want you to become strong in my life. Psalm 51:5, and I'm going to help somebody with the difference between sin and flaws. Psalm 51:5, David said this, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." He did not commit sin as a baby. He was sinful as a baby. It was not what he was doing that made him sinful. It was who he was. Here's the thing. You might be a good person, but good doesn't get you to heaven. You might do a lot of good things. Your philanthropy might be off the scales, but that is not what gets you to heaven. What you and I have to realize is we can be good all of our lives, but we have to realize, like David, I was born into a sinful environment, and it was contagious, and I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. That is why I need Jesus. There is a difference between having a sinful nature and committing sin. Committing sin is where we ask God, forgive me of all that I've done that has separated me from you, that has caused you, God, to not be able to be the Savior and Lord of my life, the things that have severed our relationship and severed our communication. That is what is sin. But there's a lot of believers here today that we wonder why things aren't as they should be. It is because of the fallen world that we live in. It is because of the sinful nature that Adam and Eve brought into this world. You didn't have to do anything to receive that sinful nature, but you have to do something to receive the saving grace of God, and that is by saying yes to him. But I want to encourage you today, don't think that your sin is what's holding you back, because when you say yes to Jesus, when you invite him into your life and ask for forgiveness, your sins are as far as the east is from the west. They're thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. God doesn't remember what you've done, and neither should you. However, you're still flesh, which means we're still flawed. There's a difference between my flaws and my sin. The Word of God talks about sin, talks about immorality, sexual immorality, talks about lying, talks about stealing, talks about all of these things. But the Bible says this also, says, lay aside every weight and sin that would beset you. There is a difference between living in a sinful world and actually committing sin. Flaws and sin are not synonymous. So how do we identify our flaws? Three questions for you. Write these down if you're taking notes. What areas do you struggle in? Like, there are some struggles that you struggle in every day of your life. Doesn't necessarily make you sin. It's just a flaw. I have a really bad temper. It is a lot better at 41 than it was at 21, and it's a lot better now that I'm more filled with the Holy Ghost than I ever have been. But there are some things that still set me off. Now, I want to be fully transparent. I've never put my fist through a piece of drywall. I've never torn a door off a hinge. It's dumb for you to destroy your own property. That's a flaw, being dumb. Now, my temper is my flaw. The Bible says, check this out, be angry, but sin not. Be flawed. Come on now. But don't let your flaw cause you to sin. Where I draw the line is I don't destroy property. I don't destroy people. I have had kids for almost 20 years. I have never beat them. I have never talked down to them. I have never put my hands on my wife. I have never called her anything out of her name other than a pet name like Boo or Bae or Shoddy or something like that. I understand my flaw, but I also don't allow my flaw to lead to sin. Say, how does that work? When I get angry, I am flawed in that moment. My flesh is showing. My flaw is showing. Sometimes I say, I need a breath of fresh air. I'm going to go out in my truck and take a drive down these country roads for 20 minutes. Why do I do that? Because I cannot depend on my flesh as a flaw to not move to the place where I'm going to do something silly, stupid, or sinful. I want you to understand that your flaw can lead to sin, but your flaw is a better place for you to invite Jesus into to say, God, my flaw is not going to be my downfall. My flaw is going to be my uprising. Turn to your neighbor and tell him he's flawed, but he's faithful. Praise God. Thank you for not shouting that one. So what areas do you struggle in? What is it hard? What is hard and difficult for you to do? That's a flaw. Where you struggle, what's difficult for you to do? Loving your neighbor, praying for those that persecute you, turning the other cheek. He said, I have a hard time. That's a flaw. Your flaw is dealing with people that don't love you. That's a flaw, but guess who God has called you to? To the people that don't love you. Don't let that flaw lead to something else. Let Jesus step into it. And finally, number three, where does Satan attack you the most? He's an instigator, y'all. He's always poking you, always prodding you. If you have a problem with people or relationships, he's always stirring the pot. Well, they don't love you like you love them. They don't sacrifice for you like you sacrifice for them. Man, I saw him. He was talking to her over there, and maybe you should check his phone, and he's not faithful, and he's 10 minutes late, and you think he's at the hotel with somebody when it was just a train at the train tracks that delayed him a little while. And so Satan is always feeding into our flaws, trying to turn our flaws into sin. Identifying your flaw affects the way you pray, or should affect the way you pray and approach life. When you identify your flaw, and I told you about my flaws last week in a business sense, I told you about my flaws in a personal sense, I told you about my temper, I told you about my impatience and all of these things. And so once you've identified those flaws, now I know how to pray. And now I approach my life in a different way. Some of your flaws are you love drama. And if there's no drama in your life, you will create drama just so that there's drama that you can be involved in and talk about. Some of your flaws is gossip. You love to talk about everybody and everything they're going through, but you're not a part of the problem. You're not a part of the solution. You just love to talk about it and stir it up and get involved in it. That is a flaw. Once you've identified the flaw, now you know how I need to pray. If gossip is your problem, here's how you pray. God, let everything that comes out of my mouth, let it build. Let it, Lord, create. Let it bless. Let it bring faith. Let it do something, God, that is amazing in their life. God, close my mouth when I want to cuss somebody out. Close my mouth when I'm not going to build, but I'm going to tear down and destroy. See, once you know your flaw, you know you're not. Now you know how to pray, and it should change the way you approach life. What does that mean? I know what the prayer part means, but now how does it affect the way I approach life? If you know going out to lunch with those three people is just going to be a gossip fest, you don't go to lunch with them. Well, Pastor, that means I have to have lunch by myself. Then have lunch by yourself. What is this, fourth grade? We've got to have our whole crew with us to eat? Open your Bible. Open the Bible app. Maybe take your spouse out for a nice lunch. Maybe treat your kids to lunch. Maybe go to your kids' school and take them Chick-fil-A. You'll be king of the day.
And let me remind you that you don't have to go eat by yourself because you got the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost in you. And let's be honest, some of you have multiple personalities, so you eating by yourself is like eating with a crowd of people.
So once you've identified your fault, you know how to pray about your fault. It changes your prayer life and changes the way you approach life. I've been talked about because of the way that I live my life and the way I make decisions. If somebody invites me to a party, if somebody invites me to a dinner, if somebody invites me to a breakfast, if somebody invites me on a trip out of town, the first question I ask is, who is going to be there? And this is where people have a problem with what I'm about to say. If I'm not making the guest list, I'm not coming. I'm not going to make I'm not going to make you change your party to appease me. I'm just not going to come to your party. Because I can't trust myself around them. Because once they start running their mouth, I've either got to leave or I've got to shut their mouth. And by me leaving or shutting their mouth, now I've made your party, your dinner, your breakfast awkward. So it's best if I don't show up. Man, Brandon's really antisocial. He never hangs out. No, I'm not antisocial. I'm protecting my peace. I'm making sure my flaws don't get out of control. I'm making sure my flaws don't lead me to sin. I'm making sure my flaws don't tear down, but they build up. It's better if I don't go. For you. For me, for them. How you approach life. If you know that you are a recovering alcoholic, don't go to the party that you know everybody's going to be getting tipsy. If you know that you've got a problem and you can't, it's been 6 weeks since you've smoked a blunt, don't go where you know the blunts are going to be. Well, I believe God is going to be my protector, and I believe God is going to be my strength. God gave you wisdom to not put yourself in positions that your flaws cannot handle. You are flawed, and your flaws always want to lead you to sin, but you've got to be strong enough to say, no, I'm not going to go down that road because I know where that road leads.
I got 1 minute left, and we didn't get hardly anywhere in my notes. James chapter 5, verse 16. This is a very popular scripture. It's going to help somebody because we're going to look at it in a different way. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know what faults in the Greek? It comes from the word sphalma, and it means this. Faults means flaws. It means deficiencies. It means a blemish. James says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. I'm going to help at least a dozen people in this room and watching online. Confessing your faults does not mean putting them on social media. Confessing your faults does not mean telling everybody you know, your mom and them, all of your problems. Check this out. What does it say after confess your faults one to another? And pray for one another. Here's how you know who to confess to. Will they pray for you? Here's the second thing, and this is going to rub some people the wrong way, and I apologize before I say it. Not only are they going to pray for you, do their prayers work? Pastor Becky and Bishop Steve, they're very private people. They have slayed more giants than anyone will ever know because they don't tell anybody until after the giants. They come back to camp with Goliath's head under, and we're like, we didn't even know there was a war. Oh, yeah, I did this last Thursday. You know, before lunch, I had a couple hours, so I just went and found that Goliath and just defeated him. You know why they do that? Because they don't trust everybody's prayers. Every once in a while, you'll be looking for this now too, somebody will walk down here to the altar, and when they walk by Tammy Green, they grab her hand, and they say, come pray for me. They don't wait for us to assign someone. Let me just tell you, everyone we assign to you, their prayers work. However, I understand the sentiment that you know some of these prayer partners and prayer team personally. You know their prayers work. And so you're saying, listen, I'm going through some things. My flaws have flared up. I've got some things going on. And I need to make sure that you know what I'm going through. I need to make sure that you know how to pray and that your prayers are answered. The Bible says this, confess your faults one to another. If they're not going to pray for you, don't talk to them about it. If their prayers don't work, don't talk to them about it. Because all they're going to do is throw you a pity party. And you don't need pity. You need prayer. You don't need somebody stroking your ego telling you, well, maybe it'll turn out. You need somebody to speak the word into your situation and say, you will live and not die. You're not going out like that. God has something for you that you have not yet stepped into, and we're going to pray the cancer out. We're going to pray him back into the marriage. We're going to pray them back into your household. I'm not telling you if you won't pray for me. I'm not telling you if I can't count on your prayers. Confess your faults one to another. It's important to have mentors. It's important to have accountability. But you better have yourself a prayer partner that knows how to pray. You better. I got some crazy news this weekend. Not in my family, but in some people that I'm very close to. Some horrendous news. And in that moment, all I could do was speak faith and pray. And as tears came out of their eyes, as tears came out of my eyes, as tears came out of the people that we were connected and in that circle with in that moment, there were tears coming out of my eyes, but there was faith coming out of my mouth. The word of God was coming out of my mouth. The promises of God were coming out of my mouth. Why? Because I have seen too much, and I know we are flawed, but these flaws are not going to take us out. These flaws are going to put us in the presence of God and the presence of God in us. I'm talking to somebody whose flaws have depressed you. Your flaws have injured your faith and not built your faith. Your flaws have taken you out of the will of God instead of further planting you in the will of God. I've been there before. Hadn't always been easy. You get hit with report after report, and it's hard to say, God, you know I just came out of that one, and now I'm walking into this one. God, you know the last couple years I've had, and now we're going to go through this. God is not surprised. Don't let the flaw of negativity, don't let the flaw of fear, don't let the flaw of doubt, don't let the flaw of anxiety, don't let it cripple you and cause you to draw back. Allow it to propel you to the presence of Jesus. If everybody would stand on your feet, this is the motion. You identify your faults. You confess your faults. You pray about your faults. And you get stronger. Identify your flaw. Confess your flaw. Pray for the flaw. Get stronger. Here's the thing, talking about identifying your flaws. Once you've identified your flaw, invite God into your flaw. Say, God, no more hiding this from you. I need you in this, in the middle of it. No more trying to do it on my own. God, I've trusted you with my salvation eternally. God, I trusted you with that medical report. God, I've trusted you. But God, now I'm going to trust you with this little nagging flaw. God, come be a part of it. Don't take it away, God. Invade it with your presence. Come into my life. Come into that flaw. Prayer, church, is an invitation for God to step into your flaw. Prayer is that invitation. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another. We're about to confess our faults. You're not gonna do it in a microphone. You don't have to tell the person that's praying for you. Maybe you are private. That's okay, as long as God knows.